This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back, everyone, to Wells Tech, the podcast all about where technology and ministry intersect. My name is Sally Draper. I'm one of the regular co-hosts of the Wells Tech podcast, and this is episode 395 for Tuesday, June 2nd, 2015. You may notice that we're missing my friend Martin Spriggs, who's almost always on Wells Tech, but Martin is away from the Wells Tech broadcasting desk this week and next week. But no worries, because I'm fortunate enough to have our semi-regular classroom technology correspondent, Jason Schmidt, joining me today from Omaha, Nebraska. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, Sally. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining me. What a relief. Yay.
Yeah. Happy to support in any way I can.
That's awesome. Well, Jason, you know, normally I'm the westernmost component of this podcast, but we're just spreading the Wells technology love just a little further west today, bringing in Omaha. Nice treat.
Yeah, not too much further west.
No. So are you done with the regular school year, officially in summertime there?
Yeah, we got rid of our teachers the day after Memorial Day. So we've been just about a week now we've been done. So
I love that. Got rid of the teachers.
Right.
Well, this
when you work at the district office, it's kind of like the teachers are your kids. So
sure.
Teachers are anxious for the kids to be gone, then we're anxious for the teachers to be gone. Then we can focus on what we've got to do.
That's what I was wondering. So then the real work kicks in, or the fun stuff kicks in, or what is it?
Yeah, this is the time of year where I spend a lot of money, we do computer labs and carts and stuff like that. I just sent off a purchase order for a whole bunch of Chromebooks today. So, you know, we've got lots of really good things going on.
Awesome. Very good. Anxious to hear more about that. I'm sure you'll find ways to tell us more throughout the podcast as you come across things. So those of you that don't know, Jason works in the Bennington ISD there in the Omaha area, and he is a technology coordinator. Is that a good title, Jason?
It depends on who you ask.
Okay.
Instructional technologist is my particular title. So more with the more on the people element of the technology rather than the nuts and bolts and how everything just functions, keeping it running. I don't do as much with that.
All right. And it gives you a little bit of exposure still to the classroom as you go in and coach various things and maybe lead some special camps and things like that. You got anything exciting in particular planned this summer for camps or anything?
No kid camps this summer. I ran out of time because I have awesome opportunities to be traveling over to Wisconsin this summer. So super super excited about the Wells Tech conference. You know, being a part of that planning process and all of the things that have been going on there, and you know all the great work that you've been doing with making sure we're all organized and taking notes and. You know, having lists and all of the things that need to get done for something like that. Really just a lot of fun for me, and really looking forward to that whole experience and everything that's gonna go along with that. Because I've never been to a Wells Tech conference, not on a larger scale. Anyways, we had our camp a couple of years ago, and that was a great time. But this one sounds like it's going to be even more fun to have this kind of an experience. So,
you know, you point out a really good reason to attend Wells Tech Conference. It's a brand new event. We're all in it together, and we're going to see how it turns out. I think it's going to be really exciting. I have the behind the scenes privilege to know a lot of the insider information. And one of the things we have coming up at Wells Tech Conference is an Ignite session where our attendees are being invited to present on Friday night and tell us some of the exciting things going on in regard to technology and ministry. And I just want to tell you folks, if you haven't signed up yet, that's a good reason to come to Wells Tech Conference. Just lots of really innovative ideas that we have to share there. And I think, you know, practical steps for implementing them and, you know, ways to talk with people who have done it and find out the results they've gotten. Just can't say enough about the excitement that's building. I think it's only about 37 days away. Not that I'm counting or anything, but you know what, Jason, this isn't a podcast about Wells Tech Conference. It's actually a podcast about Wells Tech Goes to School. I should share my screen real quick. We've been doing a series for the last several months, maybe five or so in this series, called Wells Tech Goes to School, where we've highlighted some of our favorite websites and mobile apps in different areas. So since January, we've talked about math and technology. We talked about language arts, science and social studies, God's Word and hymnology. And you and I are tasked with finishing it up today, rounding out the series with pretty much everything else. I maybe we'll title it the fun classes. I don't know, but we've got art and typing and research and internet safety, all kinds of fun things where technology can support those areas of the curriculum in very unique ways.
Yeah, you know, In my circles, we say these are outside of the core content areas, but
there you go.
But I like fun subjects a lot better. That's a lot more interesting. It's a much more sunshiny kind of a description.
There you go, Jason. We're all about the sunshine. So maybe we want to get started with art topics. Do you have some favorite art sites or web apps or whatever to share with our listeners?
You know, my absolute favorite art site is actually a blog, and it's a resource blog. So let me do my screen share here real quick. And the resource blog that I have is called Art Projects for Kids. This is a free site that I discovered while I was in the classroom. And I've always felt like I'm not a total dummy when it comes to art, but at the same time I'm not super creative. And what this website did for me was it gave me all of those project ideas that I never would have come up with, but that were very appropriate and useful for the kinds of things that I was doing with my kids. So, you know, I had my portfolio from MLC and I had all of my projects from teaching art, but that only took me about halfway through one of my years and I had a 2-year cycle. So, I go through here and, I would find these projects, ones that I liked. It would give us, gives you an idea of what it looks like, takes you through step by step. Here's how you do this and then this and then this. And then if you want to, you can download lessons off of here, templates and things like that. I like this better than I like something like Teachers Pay Teachers, just because this is somebody who is an actual, like, she is not a teacher, she's an artist, and just likes to instruct people on how to do art. So this is something, you know, you can download these lessons. They're really high quality if you wanted to use those. But if you didn't want to, you can just go in by artist and take a look at those, and the process is really great, and functions really well, and just I really found a lot of really great resources here. So artprojectsforkids.org is my favorite art resource.
Wow, I'm not sure I can top that. That looks really awesome. And I was ready to like dive in and do some of those that were flashing by on your screen there. So great resource there. I had a couple I was going to share. One is from the Getty Museum, which I believe is a Los Angeles art museum. And they have a whole section of Getty games. Makes a lot of noise and things when you mouse over stuff, and just really fun interactive website, and lots of games and things that kids can play, and it uses things from art history and such for the games. So if they want to do a jigsaw puzzle, it brings up famous pieces of art that it'll break into jigsaw puzzles and let them work with. How to make art at home is listed here. All kinds of fun things, and you know, it's really exciting for the kids to be able to interact. It would be great on a whiteboard even to interact with. And the other one that I wanted to mention, Jason, was my favorite site, Pinterest. When I'm thinking artistic things, I typically can head on over to Pinterest, do a quick search, and come up with ideas that are very visually appealing and oftentimes have instructions behind them and things like that. So, check out Pinterest if you're looking for art ideas. I think it's a great place to start.
Yeah, you know, Pinterest is one of those places for me anyways that it's probably good that I don't spend much time there because I have a feeling I would start it and then just, you know, you'd see me next week. And that would be about it. You know, I'd lose all kinds of weight and maybe I should start doing Pinterest. I don't know, we'll see. But yeah, you know, that's a great resource. And that's someplace that a lot of my teachers will, point me to as well. You know, if they find something and say, hey, I found this on Pinterest, and be like, oh, great. And then I'll look at that one thing and then I have to put it away.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Well, it's cool how their search works. They you can start with certain search terms, and then they suggest search terms that people have, you know, tagged their various pins with. And so, you know, if you search on art and education, then you get the opportunity to drill down further to elementary or secondary level or whatever, because they make that just super accessible to you there in the search. So lots of potential there to find some good project ideas or some quick project ideas when you're in a pinch.
Yep. Yeah, that's good stuff. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Anything else from you in the area of art?
Well, just something kind of in general. You know, I have a link here. Let me do my screen again. I have in Omaha we have the Joslin Art Museum. And you know, if you're near a major metropolitan area, you know, you're going to have an art museum. If, you know, Minneapolis, you'll have the Walker Art Center or something along those lines. And, if you're, you know, you don't necessarily have to go to the museum to get ideas for, lessons and things like that you can do to enhance your art curriculum. So, you know, if you have an art museum in your area, take a look at their website and try to find their education section. They'll have lots of really good things there. Another thing to think about, when it comes to these kinds of places too, is they're often, you'll be able to apply for a grant or something like that to help offset the cost of a field trip or something like that. So do a little bit of research there, you know, and see if you can find a grant either through your local arts council or through the museum itself. Very often you'll be able to find those kinds of things to help out with that. So just my final encouragement, I guess, is to take a look at those local art museums along with anything huge too is going to have a lot of really great stuff.
Yeah, that hands-on activity in a different setting even, or with a special teacher for a special event like that is really neat. I can remember when my boys were little, there was a children's museum in town, but they had art classes and we were able to tap into those and just kind of opened up an area that I don't necessarily have expertise in, but that they were able to instruct my kids. So I think that's a great idea to use those local resources. So next thing on our list, Jason, is typing. And, you know, times have changed. I don't know if your school district is still teaching cursive writing, but some of our writing skills are getting set aside because children are becoming more keyboard savvy at younger and younger ages. Tell me a little bit about what kind of policies and things you're used to in your district, Jason.
Well, actually, cursive handwriting is part of our curriculum in our district. So we do still teach cursive handwriting kindergarten. We start cursive in second grade and we go all the way up through sixth grade. So, and they have a dedicated handwriting class. They spend 60 minutes a week, working on their handwriting and everything like that. We also do, some keyboarding, some formal keyboarding instruction, not a whole lot. Because, you know, what we're finding is the kids are kind of just picking it up on their own. So we do some kind of benchmarking and, you know, kind of just make sure that they're kind of at a certain level. But it's, you know, one of the things that we have in place is our teachers have a lot of flexibility. You know, our librarians are the ones who are responsible for that instruction. And, you know, they get the kids for a total of an hour every week. And that includes library time. So, you know, we don't really spend a whole lot of time doing formal keyboard instruction. And, you know, we're finding out that that's usually okay. A lot of our kids just kind of pick it up. So I'm not going to be a ton of use for sharing with this one. I can share with you just real quick. We have the Nebraska Department of Education has some resources and a kind of a virtual curriculum that they have in place. But this is more of a professional development kind of a thing. It's not so much for kids. But just, you know, teaching how to teach keyboarding, is kind of the way that this part of it goes. But, you know, as far as resources and, tools that my teachers use, I'm going to be really lame here, and I'm going to say I don't completely know a whole lot about what's out there as far as these things are concerned. But this is where I point my teachers, at least to get started when we're looking at keyboarding instruction.
So I'm smiling, Jason. That must be why we pay you those big bucks for being a guest host on Wells Tech. Yeah.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Right. I'm still waiting for the chat.
I think it's super relevant what you shared, Jason, and very true in this day and age. We do kind of expect that the kids are picking these things up. They're doing a lot more on computers at younger ages. And I'm just thinking about my high school typing teacher. You probably didn't have a high school typing teacher, but
I did.
Her name was Mrs. Almond, and she, I don't know if she's still alive, but if she is, she might be turning in her grave. If she's not, I don't know. But she was very particular about how we handled those electric typewriters and how our typing speeds were, and, you know, the particular spaces after the periods, which it had to be two back in the day. Nowadays, it's just one, you know. For me and the experience I've had with students and things, I've just got some real basic things that if they want to do some drill, perhaps in some of their free time or whatever, for early elementary, there's games like this Keyboard Climber over on the TiVo Kids site where they're just getting familiar with the letters on the keyboard, and a letter shows up and the monkey jumps up to that level. It's kind of hard to show on a small screen, but they just are doing kind of the hunting for the letters. And these are kids that are just learning their alphabet. So associating the alphabet that they're learning with the letters on their keyboard. And it's playing some really fun music in my ear as I do this. So enough of the monkey, but you know, anytime you can bring a monkey in, that's a good thing.
Oh, for
upper elementary, we've used and had experience with typing.com, and it's free. Teachers can set up an account. They can track their students' typing speeds and things like that. There's typing tests on it. Lessons, it'll kind of evaluate your typing skills and start you at the appropriate lesson, that kind of thing. Seems to be very, very well done and at the right price, because you can do it for free. That's typing.com, and that's the main ones that I have experience with. There's more that we'll list in the show notes or on that Wells Tech Goes to School page specifically. So if you're looking for more game type things or places where you can take typing tests, we certainly have some resources, but I think everybody's kind of in this transition stage where they're trying to figure out where typing belongs. I know here in New Ulm at the high school level, they used to teach typing and they've stopped in the last 3 or 4 years. They don't even teach keyboarding skills at all. They expect the kids to have those skills. And so just kind of a bit of a shift that's going on there.
Yeah, you know, and that's it's kind of an interesting time to be alive, because we're kind of, you know, I had a conversation with one of my teachers the other day, and he was saying, now, you know, I think we're probably going to be the last generation that is used to having a keyboard with our computers. And, you know, that's not going to be the standard for too much longer. So it'll be interesting to see how things develop.
Yeah. One of my boys' favorite Star Trek movies is the one where they come to Earth and in the 80s, I think. And Scotty picks up the mouse and says, computer, doesn't now understand the concept of using a mouse and keyboard at all. So we're getting there, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Next up on our list is just online research and different tools for doing that. And I had a couple to show off here. But the one I want to show off the most just popped up an ad on the screen. So I guess some of these may be somewhat ad heavy. You have to watch for that. But this one's called Fact Monster, factmonster.com. And it's geared towards students. There's even, you know, different areas set up for them to browse. They can use the search box and find articles. And I wish I would quit mousing over the advertising, because that doesn't speak very well for it. But yeah, factmonster.com is a place that they could come. There's an analogy of a day, a word of the day, spelling bee, different things that you could take advantage of to tap into regularly updated information on FactMonster. Another one that I wanted to give a shout out to, if I can turn off the advertising, is the Lutheran Science Institute. This is actually a site that's curated by some folks in Wells, where they have different articles and things about science and evolution and different things, maybe for some older students or whatever, if they're looking to do research on different science topics. You can find information here on a lot of that kind of thing. And I think it's done in the Milwaukee area, perhaps. Mark Bergerman, I believe, is one of the key people behind putting this Lutheran Science Institute website together. It's just a site that I had available at the Lutheran school level for them to do research on and stuff when it comes to science. And then finally, the last one I want to make mention of is teaching your students online Bible research skills, and Bible Gateway or any other online Bible would be a good place to do that. I know with Bible Gateway, you can search on passages, you can search on keywords, whatever it may be, and maybe you even want to teach this on a mobile device, how to search the Bible, how to find verses and references, you know, related topics, things like that, using online Bibles, because that's definitely a skill that we'd like our students to have in our Lutheran schools.
You're a tough act to follow on this, Sally, because, you know, you've got such good, solid, hardcore resources for finding information. And yeah. I want people to save the Pacific tree octopus.
Really? So
this is one of two websites that I use when I'm teaching kids about information literacy. So this is a hoax website, you know, but it's very convincing. You know,
looks pretty real to me.
It totally looks real. Yeah, exactly. And you know, you've got things like, you know, a tree octopus hat from 1923. And, you know, I mean, this is all really great stuff, and you know, very elaborate. Lots of really cool things going on here, but. You know, I use this one as a resource when we're talking about, you know, that whole concept of not everything that you find on the internet is true. You know, and this is one of those times where, you know, you really, and we teach kids about, you know, look at the domain, look at the resource, you know, corroborate it, you know, it's got links on there. What are some other things, you know, the mountain walrus, you know, is that something that sounds, we've got jumping slugs from the Pacific Northwest. So, you know, I mean, mean, we go through and, oh, this is funny because I didn't notice that before. It looks like a breast cancer ribbon.
But it's not- does, doesn't it?
That's fantastic. So, you know, we bring kids in that one. And then, you know, the other one that I like to use is the official Mankato U.S. homepage, which, you know, has pictures of beaches and castles and, you know, all kinds of really great stuff.
Not quite the Mankato, Minnesota that I know, huh?
Right. Well, and, you know, some of this stuff, yeah, you know, hey, here's Mankato, but, you know, it's got hot springs. Things it says, and an underwater city, and a submarine base, and, you know,
wow.
All of this really, I mean, you know, and it's just fantastic, really, really, you know, a lot of fun, and really kind of silly, but, you know, and that's kind of just how I roll. I'm looking for fun and silly kinds of things, but, you know, but using that to reinforce some really important topics.
Definitely.
You know, and then, you know, with older kids, you know, we'll get away from the more ridiculous kinds of things and get into some more controversial kinds of things that they look at, and, you know, really just use those as resources to teach them to be to have discretion in the way that they use their internet research, and, you know, and back up their sources and things like that. You can't just take the first thing that you find in a Google search. So those are my silly kind of follow-ups to your very excellent examples.
You know, I think it's both sides of it, Jason. We definitely want them to have the skills to look things up and, you know, hone in on their search terms and all those kind of things. But certainly that discernment, that evaluation, that corroboration and things is very, very important. So great stuff. I can't wait to show my kids the tree octopus. They're going to love that. So
yeah, I think I might have to order a bumper sticker.
That'd be great. All right. One more category as we wrap up Wells Tech Goes to School, and that's internet safety and digital citizenship. Just lots and lots of resources available in that space. One of my favorites, Jason, is one that just helps students to orient themselves to the internet and how things work. Staying safe is one of the topics here on Welcome to the Web, but it also talks about using your browser and searching and different things. And it's a fun little activity, I would say, for perhaps middle graders. They do need to be able to read for the most part, although there are tools for it, allowing it to read to you. It has kind of built in throughout these player buttons where you can play things. So anyway, but you get the idea of how it's structured. I'm on a particular topic and it tells me I'm on page 2 of 9. Each page has a PIN code, which is really fun for kids to have this code that gets them directly to it and stuff. And they go through and see examples. There's hyperlinks here that give definitions and little challenges that they have along the way where they have to answer questions or try things. This page, for instance, is teaching them that if you move your mouse over a hyperlink, that the icon changes to a finger pointing. So even though this word internet in bright red in the upper left corner is underlined and you might think it was a hyperlink, the mouse isn't changing to indicate that. So they have you go through and try to figure out which ones really are live hyperlinks. And there's one that is, as opposed to some of these others that might look like hyperlinks but really aren't. So just some of those skills that need a little bit of explaining. This kind of covers it well. And the way that they work through it, they do it at their own pace. And whenever your time is up or they have to move on to another activity, they write down the PIN code of the page that they're on. And then when they come back, so this one says 2623 on it. From that main page of the site, there's a PIN keypad and they can type in 2623. And it will take them directly to that page. So it's kind of internet magic and they think that's pretty exciting and stuff. And it's very well done. It's very well done for that age group. Although I know some adults that I wouldn't mind learning some of these skills. So Welcome to the Web is worth its weight for introducing people to those kind of things. It ends with a little game at the end where you're a detective and you have to use all your skills to solve a mystery. And the kids really enjoy it. So that one's a good one to recommend, I think.
Yeah, that's great. That's something I used to use a long time ago, and then I forgot about it, and you've reminded me about how awesome it is. So I appreciate you sharing that one.
It's definitely been around for a while and stuff, but I do think it covers some good skills.
Yeah, no, you're totally right on that. What do we call this? Internet safety.
There you go.
Oh gosh. Been a long day. My resource for this is from Common Sense Media. A couple of years ago in our district, we were looking for how do we address this instruction, but then also how do we make sure that, you know, it gets reinforced. And what we were looking for something that was easy and cheap, and this one does both. So Common Sense Media has tons of stuff beyond just the digital citizenship and internet safety kinds of things. They do app reviews, they do professional development, they have different kinds of media that they rate mm-hmm. for appropriateness and all of that kind of stuff. But their digital citizenship materials, you can have the kids can go through and they can get their digital passport. So they sign up for an account. Teachers can get things ready to go for their kids. And then there's a student login page where you give the teacher gives the students usernames and passwords. They go in, they do their thing, it tracks their progress, they get a certificate when they're done. And this is definitely very appropriate for kids, you know, lower to middle to upper elementary. Mm-hmm. We'll use the digital passport. And then the other thing that we'll do is they have these different toolkits that we'll make use of as well. So if you're an E-rate school, you have to do a minimum, with cyberbullying and things like that. That toolkit gives you all of the lessons that you need. And then you go through and you address all of those, and then you can check that off your box. And then they're always coming out with new stuff. I haven't seen the Girls, Boys, and Media, this one over here on the right. I haven't seen that one before. But there's just so many great resources on here. And if you want to, you can pick up an entire curriculum of everything that you need for this. And it goes all the way through 12th grade. So you can pick up anything that you want in here, and make use of it. And even if you're just looking for, particular topics, they have these little icons that go along with each of the lessons. So all made for you, all ready to go. And just really high quality, really good stuff. So if you're doing anything with digital citizenship and you wanna find something that's cheap and easy, Common Sense Media is definitely a great place to go to look those things up.
Excellent. I have just one more to kind of round out this section, although we'll have several more links available on that Wells Tech Goes to School page. But I did want to make mention of PTO Today's resources. PTOtoday.com has a section dedicated to school family nights. And one of those family nights is on the topic of internet safety. So this is geared towards parents and kids coming together and sharing resources, having discussions about internet safety. And it's a free kit that you can order from them, and they have all kinds of great things included. I haven't done this one specifically. I think I ordered the kit once, but never had a chance to use it. But I have done their science night and family reading night kits, and they're excellently done. They send you all kinds of free resources, signage, all kinds of stuff that you can use to promote your PTO night. And so if you're looking for a topic for your PTO, internet safety is certainly a good one to to include, and they have the resources pulled together for you. So we'll have that link on the Wells Tech Goes to School page as well. So I think we can say that school is out, Jason. I think we have achieved our goal. All the fun subjects are covered, and we have a great resource page that we've built over the course of 5 months for our Wells Tech listeners.
Yeah, this has been a great series. It's been a lot of fun to participate in this. So nice job. Nice job putting everything together and keeping us organized and on track, Sally.
Awesome. All right. We should move on then. We have a little section now that we call Wells Now, and just talk about some of the things happening in Wells. And Jason, you and I tipped our hats earlier that we're excited about Wells Tech Conference, which is happening in just a little over a month, July 9th through 11th, here there in Waukesha, Wisconsin, in the Milwaukee area at Country Springs Hotel and Conference Center. And, you know, I've put a lot into promoting it lately because our registration deadline was actually yesterday, June 1st. But the good news is we've extended that registration, and it's going to now run all the way to June 15th. So if you haven't signed up yet, folks, you should come. You should come and see Jason because he's going to be presenting all kinds of good stuff there at Wells Tech Conference. Jason, what are you going to be talking about at the conference?
A lot of Google stuff. I'm really excited about it. So I have a pre-conference workshop where we're going to be talking about Google Apps, and it's basically going to be split up into two different sections. So we'll have the session in the morning is going to be more your 101 kind of a class. You know, if you're just kind of getting started, you want to dip your toes in, learn a little bit about, you know, how it works and what you can do, you know, if you're, that is one that requires no prerequisite knowledge. You just, you know, you can come in completely cold and not know anything about it, and you'll come out feeling a little bit more comfortable with it by the time the morning is over. And then the afternoon, we'll have, you know, if you just came in the morning, you've had a little bit of time, you're a little bit more well acclimated with it. We'll dive in the afternoon to a little bit more advanced kinds of things that go along with Google. You know, we'll talk about some of the, I don't even know yet. I don't have everything completely planned out, but, you know, we'll talk about some of the more advanced things and maybe things that you either forget are there or, are maybe a little bit more difficult to work with, than just creating a doc. So, you know, really going to be a lot of fun, really excited about it. You know, our friend Kurt Gosdeck is going to be helping me with the scabs of people that have signed up for it, but, you know, we'll still take more. There's plenty of space. As long as we can physically accommodate you, we'll get you in there. So, really looking forward to, doing those workshops. And then, I have a double session with Dave Tess, where we're going to be talking about tablets. So, that's going to be a great time, you know, iPads and Android tablets and, you know, kind of some of the differences between them and what's similar and, you know, how we can manage them and, work with them and all kinds of fun stuff going on there. So, and that one's going to be a double session. So we're going to have a lot of fun, working through all of that stuff. So, really, really looking forward to, you know, presenting and then just, you know, the Ignite sessions. And, I'm a little disappointed that I'm not eligible for any of the giveaways. I'd really love a Pixel, but, you know, that's beyond my, you know, I'll put my time in and try to help everybody else have a great conference. So really, really just looking forward to it. Super excited about the conference itself and seeing all kinds of people and, you know, got just really, really, really excited about the whole experience.
Yeah, definitely. And if folks are interested in registering, they can head over to that website. It's wells.net/wellstechconf. We'd love to meet you there in July. One more mention for Wells Now, Jason. And this one just got announced in the Together newsletter today. And that is they've decided on the location for the 2016 Youth Rally. So those of you that are Youth Rally fans out there, you know it's always a great time at the Wells Youth Rally. It's going to be held next summer, June 28th through July 1st at Colorado State University in Fort Collins, Colorado. What a neat place to visit on summer vacation. So, start planning now, folks. Mark your calendar and look forward to Colorado next summer. So should be fun. Now we'll talk a little bit about things in the news, Jason, and you shared something just before we got started that I wasn't familiar with, but Google's made an announcement recently about their photo tool.
Yeah, so if you're a Google Plus user, then you've known about this for quite a while. And I'm an Android, I love my Android. So you've had unlimited storage for a long time with Google Plus, but what Google has done now is that they have they've taken that Google Plus Photos and spun it off of Google Plus and turned it into its own thing. So if you have a Google account, go to photos.google.com and sign in with your account. And then what it'll do is you put an app on your phone, iOS, Android, whatever, and you also can download a utility for your computer, and then it automatically backs up all of your pictures into their service, and you have unlimited storage. Unlike some of those other services, you know, if it's a Dropbox or if it's Flickr or I don't know if Flickr has a storage limit or not, but it's just a really easy service for backing up all of your photos and making them available online. That's something I've been using it for better part of 2 years now, and absolutely love it and really excited to see that it's been expanded, and will continue to get better and better, I'm sure, as time goes on. That was a great announcement.
I did a quick search and just came across this Wall Street Journal article that says Google Photos review why Google beats Apple at organizing your life's memories. So getting some good reviews, it seems. This just came out this afternoon, but maybe it's worth checking out if you are into photos. I mean, who isn't with their smartphone in their hand and with them all the time? It's a popular hobby to have. So
that's exactly right.
Good stuff. All right, Jason, it's time for our picks of the week, and you are our guest host, so I'm going to ask you to go first and share your pick of the week.
All right, so I was thinking about this, and I think I might have shared this before. I'm not completely positive.
That's okay, it must be good.
It is totally awesome. So if you've been kind of tuning in a little bit on Twitter and some of the other things that I've had going on, I'm huge into 3D printing right now. I've got a lot of really neat things going on here, and this is just a fascinating space right now. So there is a company called PrinterBot. It's printer without an E, and then the word bot. And they have an education program. And the really cool thing about this is they have something going on where they're trying to get one 3D printer into every U.S. school. There's no limitation as far as accreditation or public or private. They just want one for every school. So you can pick up their Simple Metal Plus printer for $399 through this program. It takes, I signed up for it for one of our schools here, and thinking, it'd be like a month or two before I got through the approval process, and yeah, it was like a week and a half later. So, and it's one of those things, like they only give you a limited time. So if you're planning on doing something like this, make sure you line up the funding and have that available. For $399, it's a really great, easy to use printer. You spend a little, it's $20 for a kilogram of filament, and go nuts and have the kids designing stuff and making things and printing parts off, and just use that as a way to really engage your kids in some of these STEM and engineering and designing kinds of projects. So that is my pick, is the printerbot.com/education. Program to get a discounted 3D printer.
Awesome. I wish I could get a discounted 3D printer.
MLC
sounds like
could
a
get
lot
one.
Of, oh, that's true.
They would qualify.
True.
Yeah.
Awesome. Make sure somebody around here knows that.
Yeah.
My pick of the week is related to Google Education on Air. It's a an online conference that Google hosted May 8th and 9th, and they've put together some really great recap resources. First of all, if you're on the web page for Education on Air, everything that was part of the conference is available now to view on demand. So they archived every minute of video that was part of this conference. And day one was pretty straightforward and just followed a single path. But on day two, there were all kinds of sessions all day long. And the fact that you can go here, you can search on, you know, different settings and things. I think we've even looked at this on the podcast already, but it's just really impressive the resources they have. But beyond that, this week they came out with a recap video that touches on some of the things that were covered, and a blog post that kind of covers a lot of the things that were covered in the Google Education on Air event. And then they're looking for ideas. They shared also the paper that kind of sparked the first discussions that were held. It's from The Economist. It's called Driving the Skills Agenda, Preparing Students for the Future. So if you're looking for some summer reading, perhaps, this might be a good thing to read. It looks like it's maybe about 20 pages long, not too lengthy. They are looking for ideas for the next Google Education on Air. So there's a Google Plus site that you can go to and vote on what kind of things you'd like to see in the next Google Education on Air. And then finally, they're looking for feedback. If you've watched either live or on demand any of the sessions, they'd like to hear from you and hear your ideas about perhaps how to make it better. So lots of resources to share around the Google Education on Air event and all of the excellent resources that they archived associated with the event. So check it out.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Yeah. All right, Jason, I'm going to whip through the community feedback that we have here, starting with an email that we received from Jonathan Nimmy, who very politely nudged us a little regarding our Google Calendar for the Christian Worship Lectionary. So you may or may not be familiar that over on the Wells Tech Wiki, we have a page dedicated to the lectionary on Google Calendar. And you can go there and view the calendar. It has each of the Sundays of the church year, as well as special festival services and things like that. It includes lessons and psalms and prayers of the day, verse of the day, hymns of the day, and the church year color. So it's a great resource for those that are involved in planning worship services. And the calendar that we have available only goes through November, when this current church year ends. And so Jonathan wrote to ask if another one was in the works. And the answer is yes. We did contact our worship office. They're actually the manpower behind that particular calendar. We just have a place for it to live out on our Wells Tech Google Calendar where you can easily link to it and things. But you can expect that that calendar will be extended beyond the end of this calendar, church year calendar, which ends at the end of November. So we'll be sure to announce it here on the podcast when the updates have been put in place. So thanks for that gentle and appropriate nudge, Jonathan. Next up, I have a couple of websites to share from listener Jason Winjet. The first one is, let's see if I can share. It's from Christian Media Magazine, and it's an article entitled Help Your Tech Team. And it's just a quick read about ways to communicate well with those that are doing the technology. And one of the things they said right off the bat, Jason, is that it's kind of a thankless job. So if you're the person behind running the projection or whatever it may be, you really only hear from people when things go wrong.
Yep.
When the slides don't advance like they're supposed to or whatever it may be. You know, after reading that, it made me appreciate our pastors at St. Paul's in New Ulm, because at the end of the service, when they thank the organist and the ushers and things, they always remember to thank the projectionist. And if they know who's in the booth running the projectionist, they thank them by name. And that's not a bad thing to do, because it is a a way of serving that's very important to the worship atmosphere and things if you use projection in your services. So the tips they include here is to always go over the order of the service, to check out the equipment being used and provide equipment that's appropriate and works well. And then just to think about the different media components you're including in the worship service and get them to those projectionists, those people that put together that kind of stuff as soon as possible. Certainly not just like an hour before worship where they're not quite sure if the format's going to work or if it's going to actually play when they click the button or whatever. Give them time to work with those resources in advance of the actual worship service. So good reminders for those of you that have people in that technology position. You want to definitely support them and communicate with them so they have what they need. Jason shared another, and I say Jason, that's the right name, Jason Winjet.
Yep.
Got
yep.
Jason's all over the place. Just made me stop and think and make sure I was saying it correctly. Jason shared a second website. It's called thefreemusicarchive.org, and it's a posting of Creative Commons licensed music where you can go and download those music pieces. You can search on the site by genre, and they have everything from the blues to pop and instrumentals. They have classical music, whatever your interests are. And when you click on a particular title, you get information about the licensing. So it's not just public domain kind of stuff, but it's licensed under Creative Commons, and you need to look at each title to see. This one, for instance, is licensed as Attribution Non-Commercial Share and Share Alike. And so those are the guidelines you need to live within. I'll include a link in the show notes to their FAQ page where they explain more about their service and more about the licensing and things and what the different license terms mean in relation to Creative Commons. All kinds of good resources here on freemusicarchive.org. I was excited to see this site. And then finally, from Aaron Spike, I wanted to point to the website Open Sancor. Have you heard of Open Sancor, Jason?
I have not. I'm going to have to check this one out.
It's titled Free Interactive Whiteboard Software. So this would be software that would work with any kind of touch device. DITs, they call it, digital interactive tables, interactive beamers, graphic tables, PC tablets, anything that's interactive, and it's free and open source. I think it's got kind of a European flair to it. The site is published in English and in French.
Yep.
But I would expect that many might be interested in some alternatives at this point to something like the smart board licensing that is required for smart boards and things. So this may be an option for some of our schools to either add to their existing license some more resources or to use even in other settings besides the traditional smart board, but on interactive devices. So I haven't dug real deep, but it might be worth checking out.
Yeah, definitely. Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. All right. Finally, we have a segment titled Ministry Resources. And I just wanted to make a quick plug for the Wells Women's Ministry website that's available here as part of the Wells website. We will definitely have a link to this in the show notes. There's all kinds of great stuff that you can find here. Bible studies written for women, by women. There's ministry ideas that you can get. All kinds of things to spark a women's group or to start a brand new women's group in your congregation. Prayers, there's mentoring, there's all kinds of things. So definitely check it out. Perhaps summer is a good time for planning for a women's ministry effort, and this would be an excellent website to start with. They have a conference plan for next summer, July 21st through 23rd, 2016. So there's information on the website about that and lots more. So check it out. Put the women of your congregation in touch with this link so that they can find resources to support the ministry efforts that their groups are carrying out. And next up in our our walk around our mind map that we've used for planning the Wells Tech podcast is something called What's Happening Next Week on Wells Tech. And you know what, folks? That's a great question. And I'm not quite ready to reveal my bag of tricks. I'm going to call it Sally's Tech Smorgasbord Board next week because it might include just about anything. I'll definitely be pursuing some additional people to join the conversation and keep things interesting for you, but definitely have some tech tricks and my go-to tools that I think should be part of everyone's technology tool belt. We'll be sharing that next week on Wells Tech. Tune in, see what kind of magic I've prepared for you. It should be interesting. And I think at this point, if Martin Spriggs is watching, he's doing a little shaking. But trust me, Martin, I'm going to pull it off somehow. That'll be next Tuesday, June 9th. Same time, 4 p.m. Central Time. You can watch us at wellstechlive.wells.net, or you can always go over to our show notes page. That's wellstech.wells.net, where we archive all of our shows. They're published there. And you can go back in history. You can use the search box. You can get in touch with us in a lot of different ways, all from this one website. We love to hear from you and include your comments. I definitely need them for next week's show. So if you got anything cool to share, now would be the time to click on these links here and email us or tag something on our Pinterest board or send us a tweet or whatever it may be. Lots of ways to get in touch with us here on Wells Tech, and we love to include your voice in the Wells Tech conversation. And Jason, I think that's going to be about it for this show. I have one last thing to share, and that's our video of the week. We normally end the show with a video featuring different things of use to our congregations and schools. And this week is no different. This week's video is actually from St. Paul's Lutheran School in New Ulm. And they just recently did something. They call it a lip dub, although they aren't really singing along to the music. It's done to Pharrell Williams' Happy, which is a really fun song. And it includes all 300-ish students of the school in a lot of different ways. They show off a lot of fun skills and have a really happy time doing it. It starts with Principal Greg Thiesfeld, and we get a tour of the whole school and get to meet all the students in a really fun way. And this may be something that you guys out there in Wells Tech world would be interested doing in your own congregations or schools, something to promote the school and just let people know of the joy you have in Jesus. And I think they do a great job of it there at St. Paul's School, and I think you'll enjoy the video. So check it out. That'll be part of our show notes when they're published for this episode. So, yeah. Jason, we started off, and I remember saying to you distinctly right before I pushed the go live button, I'm guessing we won't have an hour's worth here, but that'll be just fine. It'll be a shorter show probably. And here we are. We are 3 minutes away from having an hour-long show. Imagine that.
I think Martin would be proud of us.
I hope so. We're trying, Martin. So thanks very much, Jason, for joining me today and for all the sunshine that you bring to the Wells Tech podcast. We always love having you on here.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity, and it's hopefully I haven't scared you guys off. I can join you again next year.
Definitely. We'll look forward to that. All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll see you next time.